Today, I want to share some nightmare scenarios that actually could play out in the next 3 to 4 months.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And I welcome you to the Thursday edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Now, those of you that have listened to this program for any length of time know that I'm generally not given into any kind of hyperbole, trying to be over the top sensational. I'll let other broadcasters do that, especially many so-called Christian broadcasters that have been saying over and over again, World War III in 90 days. I heard that one 4 or 5 years ago. I hear a lot of stuff. I read a lot of stuff. I do my best to pay attention. And I'm pretty good at being able to sort out some of the fiction from fact, some of the real from the not so real, some of the weird things that, well, just need to be understood. And lately I've been reading a lot of news stories, and I'm trying to get a handle on certain scenarios that could play out over the next 30 days, 60 days, 90 and 120. In other words, short-term, mid-term, and long-term into early next year. And some of the things that have come to mind, and thinking back over history just in the last 10, 20 years, I've got some deep concerns. And I generally don't speak like this on this program unless something is really stirring inside of me. Now, I will give you a disclaimer up front. I do not claim to be getting any word of knowledge from God. I don't declare myself to be any kind of a prophet. Never have, never will, that I know of. I just don't feel that way. But I think I'm pretty good at connecting some dots after doing a program like this for years. And certain scenarios are beginning to play out in my mind late at night. And remember, things can change on a dime. I mean, just look at the past few years. I want to go back to the year 2008 just for a moment. It seems like an eternity ago now, but I was thinking back to how things were in the late summer of 2008. The Republicans had chosen John McCain to be their standard bearer to run in the presidential election, and Barack Obama had been chosen by the Democrats. And there was excitement among Democrats to have the first person of color running for office, whatever they wanted, term they wanted to use, doesn't matter. A lot of questions were being raised. On the Republican side, there wasn't a whole lot of excitement about John McCain. And so we're trudging through the summer, and everybody wondering what's going to happen on Election Day of 2008. And all of a sudden, there was news, financial news, that hit out of nowhere. The next thing we knew, we watched McCain suspend his campaign to get back to Washington to, you know, be a senator again, instead of being a presidential nominee and running for office. Because all of a sudden, out of nowhere, for at least most people and even the media, we were suddenly in the greatest economic crisis of our time. Many saying this crisis would be bigger than the depression that occurred in the late 1920s and lasted all the way until we got ourselves into World War II in 1942. It changed the course of the election on a dime, and Barack Obama won. And then came the Tea Party movement, 2010, in response to Obamacare. Now, the reason I'm giving you this history is going to make sense in about a couple of minutes from right now, when I kind of give you a very frightening scenario that I think is going to play out, or very likely could. I'm not saying it will, but I'm saying the pieces are falling into place. 2010, Tea Party, because this is a reaction to Obamacare. But from 2010 until today, 14 years later, nothing has ever happened It's still there. And looking back now, it's just a bunch of, you know, opportunists running for office to become congressman or whatever the case may be. When the time came that we could have gotten rid of Obamacare after Donald Trump became president, it didn't happen because people like John McCain, well, they put a stop to it. All right, put all that aside now. What I'm saying is shocking things can happen out of nowhere. Go back to early 2020, January and February. Who would have thought that within 30 to 60 days, we were going to be in a worldwide global pandemic with people locked down in their homes, things shut down, stores shut down, businesses shut down, people's savings drying up, people's cars being repossessed because of this virus? And I look at pictures from 3 and 4 years ago, and I look at all these people wearing face diapers and fear in their eyes, walking one way in grocery stores. Look how quick that came upon us. And so never, ever take for granted that something spectacular and unexpected could occur. Right now, and this is also a part of this scenario, we have a federal government that is inching us closer to literally global warfare with a superpower because of their arrogance, their inability, their delusion, and their stupidity. Wrap it all in one. The worst of the worst of the worst. And somehow 50% of the voters in this country think it's a good idea to keep this going the way it's going. Let's have more inflation. Let's bring in millions of more people inside the United States that are not citizens. Let's poke the bear in Russia. Let's keep things unsettled in the Middle East. After all, those that really pay the bills, this is what they want. And what they want is more of your tax money for what Dwight Eisenhower correctly said. The military-industrial complex, the globalists, they're the ones that are pulling the strings. So now, I know it took me 7 minutes to get here, but let's talk about this very scary scenario that is playing out in my mind. You may not agree with it, and I hope it doesn't happen. Like I say, this is not a prophecy, but knowing how things can go, knowing who pulls the power and the levers of our world today, I would suspect, assuming that Donald Trump makes it to Election Day, and sometimes, and I have some stories I'll share in a few minutes, I have to worry about that, considering it's come out that really it's Joe Biden that is calling the shots on Trump's security. You know, the guy that said we'll never let him take power? Let me tell you something. They say the elephant has a memory that never forgets. And there may be some truth in that, but not when it comes to Republicans. Republicans, conservatives, have short memories. Unfortunately, they forget how quick they get lied to and buffaloed and taken advantage of, even by some of their own. It's actually the Democrats that have really long memories and spent a lot of time planning, plotting, and scheming. And you don't know about it. They are very unified in their leadership. And those that bear their D after their name as a politician has to play ball or else. Let's go back now to January 6th of 2021. And forget all the hyperbole and insurrection. It was the worst thing since, you know, 9/11, the worst thing since Pearl Harbor, the worst thing since, you know, the British were firing shots at Baltimore in 1812. It was the worst. Just put all that nonsense aside. It was not any of that. It never was. It never was intended to be. Except by those that wanted to happen, which were the Democrats themselves. They had a problem on their hand. This is how they solved their problem. They knew that there were, let's put it politely, many election irregularities. And a lot of court cases were being filed. A lot of them had been knocked out only on procedural or standing grounds, never on any of the merits of the case. So anytime someone says, well, they went to court, Bob, and they didn't find any election fraud, dummy. All they found was the person bringing the complaint didn't have standing. Nobody has ever, to this day, looked at the evidence in any court case. So just put that nonsensical thought out of your mind. You've been lied to, and you're so willing to believe the lie because you believe in some kind of weirdness. You know, transgenderism is normal and everybody can choose their gender. Your mind is already ill if you believe that there was no irregularity. The evidence keeps coming out as the years have gone by that there was a lot of funny business going on in the elections. And I'm not going to get into that now. And many of us knew as we got to the end of December and after the Electoral College had met and then the states sent on their stuff, there's some people in this country that just must have been dozing off during a history class, never understood how our system of government works, and they're spouting off, you know, how they think this, that, and the other. They don't know what they're talking about. And that includes most of the media. The media, the intelligentsia of the media is, I'm just going to come out and say it, and I'm sorry to put it this way, they are retarded. That's the politest word I can find. They're reprobates and they're retarded. Willfully. They don't want to know. Many times in history, the Congress has to certify the presidential election from the electors. And if there's any question, there's a procedure that has been outlined in the Constitution of how you can raise questions. It has been done before. It has been done before, even when Trump was elected. It was done when Bush was elected back in the year 2000. It's been done many times over the years to challenge the electors and the results of a state. This is nothing new. And because of the incredibly high number of irregularities that were noticed in that election, we'll just leave it as irregularities. Things that didn't seem right. Ballots, where did they come from? Why did we have hundreds of people, like in Georgia, registering to vote in counties that, and when you go to look up these people later, they don't exist. And the addresses are all the same, or they're an address of a vacant lot that's never been built on, been lived on, or used. It's maybe farmland, a national forest. And you take 100 people times 159 counties, that's 15,900 votes. Trump didn't lose. He lost by a lot less than that in Georgia. So I'm just saying, there were irregularities that nobody wants to face up to and look at. And so the plan was for January 6th to let Republican congressmen and senators know we smell a rat and it don't smell good. We want you to put the brakes on. Allow these questions to be asked. And then finally, let's get to the bottom of these accusations. That was what January 6th was all about, or was supposed to be about. Put a pause on this. Let's find out before we certify this election and before we swear in a new president. This is how the Constitution was designed to work. The Democrats, unfortunately, compared to most conservative think tanks, these guys play 5D chess. They're thinking ahead of what could happen. They knew, because you know every conservative is signaling their intent, so they knew that, oh my Lord, we could be exposed. We could find out that there was fraud in Michigan, in Detroit, in Philadelphia, in Atlanta. This could come out, and we could be in some serious trouble. We got to put a stop to this. I can imagine in that little room, you know, Trump is calling for a big massive rally and bringing a lot of people into Washington, D.C. What you say would happen if that, if it got out of hand? And if it started to look mean and violent like an insurrection? We need to make sure that it gets noisy. We need to make sure there's a plan in place. To this day, on a related note, on that day of January 6th, forget the hundreds of thousands of people that showed up and marched to the Capitol. Forget those for a moment. What about the bombs that were found, you know, at like the DNC headquarters? You don't hear about that. I really believe, I'm going to go out on a limb here. I don't normally do this. That was part of the plan. That was not some random act by some angry Republican or conservative. This was a part of the plan to have plenty of narrative to back up what they would need by the end of the day. And then we watched it unfold on television. I can remember. Remember, I'm retired, so I was able to actually watch this. Trump made his speech and then said, march peacefully down to the Capitol and let your representative know that you smell a fraud. And let's investigate before we go any further. That's all he was asking. And instead, well, all hell broke loose. You know the story. Trump knew there'd be a security issue. And he offered the National Guard well before January 6th. Turned down by Nancy Pelosi, turned down by the mayor of Washington, all Democrats. See, the plan was we need this to get out of hand. And when it wasn't getting out of hand fast enough, they started, and you can see the video, of Capitol Police opening up fences and allowing people to wander into the Capitol. And then, of course, I really believe that there were hundreds of instigators put in there, some that actually have federal jobs, like with the FBI. You know, I'm sorry, the FBI is a despicable organization, always has been, always will be. Started out as a presidential concept. It was just bought into being on an executive order and then run for years by a transvestite that had a dossier at every politician in D.C. so he'd be untouchable. And they're no better today than they were then. In fact, they're worse. They're now the Gestapo of the Democrat Party in many cases, especially enforcing their pro-death idea on babies in the womb. I mean, they're out there to make sure that babies die and that nobody can protest. They'll put an 87-year-old lady in jail for 10 years for blocking an abortion clinic. But when it comes to real crime, oh, we don't worry about that. They're just political operatives. January 6th, I believe, was a creation. It was made to occur and happen. They saw an opportunity. They knew angry people would be there. They knew they could manipulate the media, and bingo. Many of the rhinos in the Republican Party that were happy to see Trump go kept their mouths shut. And Mike Pence folded like a cheap suit and ended the proceedings. Just when they were starting to get to the point where they were going to look at the evidence for the first time, it stops, and it's never looked at again. And instead, all we hear is insurrection, insurrection. So why am I telling you all this? Most of you know it. Here's what I think can actually happen this year, and I want you to be ready for it. I'm not saying it's going to happen. Like I say, I'm not a prophet. Right now, and we've known since the end of last year, anybody on the inside has known that they wanted to get rid of Biden in the world's worst kind of way, and they really wanted to get rid of Kamala Harris even worse than Biden. They, back in December of 2023, knew that Joe had to go. And they knew that their lawfare attempts against Trump would score some points but would all fail either before or most, they were hoping, after the election. In other words, you don't put all your eggs in one basket. They were planning to make sure this thing was really you know, spread out between lawfare, this, that, get them off the ballot, noisy stories, manipulated, you know, fake news, lying media. Everything, they were going to pull all the stops. But they wanted to get rid of Biden because they knew that Biden was too weak to win. And Kamala Harris is even more hated than Biden. I mean, the numbers have been out there for months and months and months. And so starting in December, they started parading people like Gavin Newsom and Gretchen Whitmer and others, you know, J.B. Prickster. And you'd go down the whole list of possible candidates, Michelle Obama. We heard all these names being floated around. And even I told you in January or February of this year on one of the radio programs, I said I predicted then, not as a prophecy, but I felt I could see read the way the feel was within the Democrats, because I read a lot of their stuff too. Biden had to go. And I said, he will not run. I was a little surprised when he waited till he had the nomination sealed up and the primaries behind him, which then put a position where they didn't have to have an open primary, just, you know, appoint somebody. And I really believe Kamala Harris decided not to play ball the way they wanted her to, like to step aside with Biden. And so she forced herself in to be the nominee. And I'm sure they had it. If they could find a way to dump her today, they would do it. They're stuck with her for now. And so they recognize they've got a serious problem on their hands. Kamala Harris is not near as popular as the media would like you to believe. She's not really that high in the polling as the media wants you to believe. She's not that beloved as the media wants you to believe. She's not that skilled as the media wants you to believe. She's a buffoon. And everybody in the Biden White House knew that she was a buffoon. The entire rigged ABC debate. Never fact check all the lies she tells, just go after Trump. We know that now. This is out there, finally. The lying media is just the state-run media, as Rush Limbaugh used to call it. He's correct. It's what they are. Here's what my fear is. I want you to imagine we get to the election, and in a narrow election, in spite of all the best efforts of fraudulent votes and voters, mysterious ballots, machines, whatever, Trump wins. And it's going to be a narrow election. And so Trump wins. Maybe he wins Pennsylvania because of the total mess up of the economy. Now, while Americans are hyper fixated on the 20,000 Haitians that the Biden administration dumped into Springfield, Ohio, through an expanded temporary protected status program from the, you know, for the collapsed Caribbean nation. Small town of 4,000 people in Pennsylvania has experienced a 2,000% increase in the population of Haitian migrants, and the schools are scrambling to hire translators for all these people that speak Creole French, that don't speak one word of English. They got problems. They could lose states like Pennsylvania. Michigan could be a toss-up. Georgia, North Carolina. You know, and if you, Trump could pull off what he did in 16, if they're careful and they make sure that they're observing in advance so the cheating doesn't get a chance to play out. So I'm going to, I mean, I could be wrong, but I have this feeling the potential for Trump to win, the odds are increasingly in Donald Trump's favor, assuming that he makes it to the election and makes it beyond the election. See, I want to remind you of something that Joe Biden said, and I want this to resonate with you as I explain the next steps of what I really believe is going to play out.
We just have to demonstrate that he will not take power. If he does run, making sure he, under legitimate efforts of our Constitution, does not become the next president again.
Now, I know a lot of the media tried to, well, minimize that and say, well, he didn't really say what he said, and he really didn't mean what you heard him say. But the truth is, Biden meant what he said, because that was the plan on the table. Every which way they could stop him, they were already coordinating in advance in anticipation of his running for president, the lawfare that we've watched play out, that had he not run for president would have never occurred. But I think there's something even more sinister on the horizon. Equally as sinister, and we'll talk about this too in a few minutes, about these attempts on his life. I can't remember a time since Ronald Reagan was shot on the streets of Washington, D.C., that we've had this kind of situation occurring. You think with all our technology and training, the Secret Service would do better than they have. And that's another part of this story. Now, I hate to make you wait, but when I come back, I'm going to share with you the nightmare scenario that keeps coming to me in the wee hours of the morning, as it did to me again today.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
As Truth to Ponder begins its fifth year of ministry, we enter a new era of programs and purpose. Since our inception in the summer of 2020, we have endeavored to bring you accurate and vital news and information. We have worked diligently to expose the political bias and the many lies being told by mainstream media, government officials, social media, and tech giants. Many of the stories we have shared over the past 4 years were once labeled as conspiracy theories. Today, those stories have proven true. Did those who lied to you ever apologize or acknowledge their lies? The answer is obvious. They haven't, and they won't. We are now entering one of the most critical times in the history of our world. Artificial intelligence can monitor much of what we do and say online and report it to both the government and private corporations. Artificial intelligence can create false but convincing propaganda narratives in all forms of media at lightning speed, including video and audio. Sorting truth from propaganda is getting harder to do each day. As part of our new emphasis in these historic times, Truth to Ponder will be partnering with other ministries and news sources to increase the amount of factual and needed information you must have in these troublesome times. To meet this challenge, we will vastly increase our efforts to put all of today's events and news stories in the light of God's world. We will be developing study resources and a platform that does not depend on the internet for delivery. We also pray to increase our radio footprint throughout North America and beyond. To meet this new challenge and to grow, we need your prayerful support now more than ever. Would you let others know about this program? Would you be a monthly partner with us? If you can, visit our website at truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. At our website, you can find out how to support us using Give, Send, Go, a Christian online donation processing organization. That website again, truth2ponder.com. You can also support us by making a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. That's Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, Virginia 24319. Once again, make the check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510, Chilhowee, spelled C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowee, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319. May God richly bless you as you help us spread the truth the world needs to hear.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Okay, I'm not going to keep you waiting. Welcome back to part two. of Truth to Ponder, and I'm your host, Bob Bierman. I said all that I did in the beginning to set up what I'm about to tell you right now. This is what worries me in this election cycle. I believe it's a high probability that Donald Trump could win the election. I believe they can't find ways to get around some of the cheating they could do in prior years. There are too many eyes focused. It's not going to be as easy. In spite of all the illegal immigrants, how many have actually signed up yet to vote? In other words, they don't have everything they need in place. While it's true they have the mainstream media on their side, while it's true that ABC rigged a debate, we can go on and on and on. Kamala Harris is not a popular candidate with most people. And there is that strong probability that if Trump survives until the election and after, we could have his election in his favor, but he may never take office. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. On the first segment of the program, I mentioned that Republicans, whose mascot is the elephant who never forgets, they forget all the time. They have really short memories. They keep, you know, it's like the little kid that keeps coming up and putting his finger on the hot oven eye, and they keep getting burned and they don't learn. Most Republicans, especially rhinos, well, rhinos, they're in it for the Democrats anyway, but too many conservatives are so short-minded that they don't look at the larger game. I really believe that Trump will probably win the election, but there's a also strong probability he may never be allowed to assume the office, and here's why. Couple of things you need to remember. And this is why voting is important. A lot of people, and some of you listening to me, will run out there and vote for the president and not look down the ballot on anything else or any other issue or any other candidate, whether it be school board, whether it be dog catcher. You won't care. You're going to be so focused on the big shiny object, the president, you're going to forget about everything else. I know people that literally go to the polls. They will vote for Donald Trump and nothing else. There's Trump. And they run out. They're done. That actually happens. You can't take it for granted. We have some races. I've been reading and following this. There's some races going on right now. Do you realize you could have a scenario this November where Donald Trump becomes the president of the United States, or, you know, the wins the correct number of electors? And the electors, if you get through till December without any issues, like he's in jail or assassinated or something else, then he becomes the elected by the electors, and then it has to go to the House of Representatives in January. Now, before that meeting in January, just so you know, the new Congress will have been sworn in before that certification. It's not the current Congress. And there's some very tight races. Republicans have a one-vote majority. All seats are up. A number of conservatives are bailing out. And there are some strong indications that Hakeem Jeffries could be the Speaker of the House the day all this occurs to declare if Trump is certified to be president or not. And once again, another January 6th will be upon us. Do you realize that there is the possibility, a strong possibility, that this time the Democrats, remembering what the Republicans wanted to do legitimately back in 2006, their memories are long. They will reverse it and slap it back in your face in January of 2025. And don't think they're not beneath doing that. I really believe that they have the capability of doing that. There is a scenario that plays out in my mind where Trump wins, whether by a small margin or large is irrelevant. There's still some lawfare cases to be done, and then you get to the certification, and then you can come up with all the kind of reasons that the election was not good and why he's not qualified and this and that, and he could be taken out before he ever gets in January of 2025. Are you following me on this? Don't think it can't happen. People in December of 2019 hearing about the Wuhan flu thought it would never be a pandemic either. And life would be just wonderful in 2020, and Trump would just, you know, waltz his way back into the White House without even having to fight for it. If you think that Election Day, and right now there are already ballots being cast, if you think the election is secure, and if Trump wins, that he is going to end up going into the Oval Office, you better think twice. And what'll happen, in my opinion, you're going to see something happen. This country will go into total and absolute meltdown. When the Democrats thought January 6th was a violent insurrection, when you now have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people around the nation angry because you've stolen the election again. And this time they know it. And this time they can see it and smell it. Because too many people didn't worry about the down ticket part. Too many people don't worry about their state senators and their state congressmen and what have you. They don't care about their state or their county. They don't pay attention. They just worry about the president. We don't have a king. And we have too many stupid, idiotic people that shouldn't, that need to have some common sense drilled into them somehow, some way. You vote every election, every time, not every 4 years for a presidential election. Stop fooling yourself. If all you're voting for is a presidential election and you're not coming out for the other, then you are about as worthless as they come. If you don't know who your congressman or senator is, let me ask you a question. You know who your congressman is? Where you live? I do. Oh, I don't know. I wonder who he is. Is he a Democrat or Republican? Do you know? How about the one that represents you in your state house? You know who he is or she is? What party? You've got to stop thinking in terms of one election. And the Democrats are smart on that. I really believe they know no matter how much money they throw into the Kamala Harris campaign, that her odds of winning are still against her. Not impossible, but it's against her. So I've been noticing, because I'm secretly on some email list with, you know, various organizations that represent leftist liberal lunatics, they're really wanting a lot of money right now to push congressional and Senate races at both the federal and state level. They really believe, I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to get themselves additional Trump insurance by stacking the deck in the House of Representatives and in the United States Senate and in many state houses across the country. They can stop anything Trump wants to do for the next 4 years. And make his presidency just, well, lame duck from day one, if he gets in, if he gets past even January 6th of 2025, where the Democrats have not forgotten that Republicans, had the Democrats not helped create the scenario that took place on January 6th, had they not done this, that election could have been examined, and Joe Biden may never have become the president to begin with. See, that's what I'm worrying about. I really see this happening. And then again, when you have in a matter of 60-some-odd days, two assassination attempts on the former president of the United States. You know, sometimes I wonder if this is coordinated, if this is deep state. I mean, this guy, Routh, I'm trying to figure out how Ryan Routh can do all the things that he has been able to pull off. It just doesn't make any sense to me. How does a guy that makes like $30,000 a year, $36,000. I mean, I'm retired. My wife and I, we live on a fixed income. We have a small retirement income on top of Social Security. And so I kind of understand how hard it is to make a living. And we're fortunate that our home is paid for. But we still have taxes and we still have insurance. We don't have a car payment. But still, the cost of living is not cheap anymore, especially over the past, well, 3.5 years. The FBI investigating the most recent attempt, all the attempts, just to me is contemptible because they're the ones investigating. They're the tool of the Democrats to go after Trump to try to put him in prison. Do you think they really care? I'm kind of glad that at least Governor DeSantis in Florida is going to take a look at it because he doesn't trust the FBI. Either do I. But there are too many things about this guy that just doesn't add up about Routh. I cannot understand how does a guy on that income travel the world, have pictures taken with world leaders, can go in and out of war zones in Ukraine? How can he be seen with celebrity chefs? How's he doing all this? He has a failed marriage and a broken relationship with his son. He's got a minor conviction record miles long, including owning a machine gun illegally and having a standoff with police, which, by the way, he never went to jail on. Has he been groomed by the deep state for years as a stooge or a fall guy or scapegoat? Have they controlled his mind that much? You know, what I'm worrying about, we've had these two almost assassinations. And I've got a million questions on the Butler PA one that have not yet been answered. And the media does not want to know the answers. They just don't. Even Fox News doesn't want to know everything. Remember, they like their position and their power, and people like Sean Hannity that make $35 million a year doing what he does, you know, you don't want to jeopardize all of that, so you only talk within the guardrails that you are given. Go outside the guardrails, you're fired like a Tucker Carlson and others before him. There's kind of an unconscious association, if you're trying to figure some rigging of the vote. By attempting to assassinate Trump, you want him to be in fear so he doesn't campaign. And then you want people to think, you know, this guy, if he becomes president, he could be assassinated. Or he may not get there. So Trump equals fear in the minds of many. Like I say, I'm looking. They don't want 4 years of, you know, feeling fear if you vote for him. They want you to think, well, that no one's going to try to kill Kamala. I mean, this is the mentality. You're being gaslit by your media every which way to Sunday. The future of global governance is getting closer and closer. There's a summit coming up on the 22nd, put out by the United Nations. They want much more control over global affairs, and they're going to put together a pact for the future. It is scheduled to be adopted during the summit of the future, being held on September the 22nd and the 23rd. and it'll go a long way toward making that a reality. But even though the summit of the future is just days away, very few people have been talking about it. And the mainstream media, ABC News, for example, that fact-checked Trump, improperly, I might add, and they were even wrong on that. Yeah, how did they know to call the city manager of Springfield? Do you think the city manager of Springfield is going to say, yeah, my city's a basket case, it's falling apart at the seams, and we're too stupid to fix it? Yeah, that's what he's going to say? Of course not. Big decisions are coming in a matter of days. They really believe that Trump will not assume power in January, even if he wins the election. They're stacking the deck between lawfare, stacking the deck between attempted assassinations, and I wouldn't be surprised if there's a third attempt. I'm telling you, the globalists are relentless. Of course, demons have been relentless since God condemned them. And they know their day is coming. And they're not going to just kowtow right now to be quiet. No, they're going to fight and fight with everything they've got against you and I. And it's what St. Paul said, fighting against principalities and powers. None of the stories about the two assassins makes any sense. And as fast as they can, they try to sweep a lot of it under the rug. All they want you to know is that Trump's a target. And they try to, and some of these leftist lunatics, and I was reading one, well, yeah, this is a Trump deranged, this is the Trump guy that tried to kill Trump. And they forget that the guy's been a lifelong registered Democrat, voted allegedly for Trump once in 2016, and then started condemning him in 2020. He didn't vote for him in 2020. He wants to keep him away from the White House. And he loves the war in Ukraine. And how did both of the assassins appear in commercials produced by BlackRock? This doesn't make any sense. I mean, there's too much about these people that doesn't make any sense. The two assassins. How did this golf course assassin, how could he hide out for 12 hours outside, you know, the golf course? Did anybody bother to sweep the perimeter? Apparently not. Was it intended for him to be killed? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. I'm hearing a lot, and I'm not going to say yes or no. I'm going to wait a little bit until we get a little bit more credible information. Conservative groups are just not getting it. And while we're busy focusing on the big election of Donald Trump, we are forgetting that they're trying to bury what's happening in places like Springfield, Ohio, and places in small town Alabama and small town Pennsylvania. It's happening everywhere. I want to know, when it comes to this latest assassination, who is directing Ryan Routh? Was he directed to carry out an attack by any domestic or foreign government? After all, he had many countless contacts in Eastern Europe and in Asia. He was in contact with militants and warfighters in Ukraine, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran, and elsewhere. Have you been to those places to have your picture taken, making $36,000 a year? No. It's no secret that our politicized law enforcement and intelligence agencies have invoked high-level public figures in past ploys. And we also cannot forget that elements of the U.S. intelligence services are dedicated to destroying the Trump presidency. We know that. How will the federal investigation go? Whitewash. You know it and I know it. Will intelligence ever gather any more information and ever share it? Probably not. Why can't or won't the federal government protect President Trump? when the president is in Florida, he likes to play golf. I mean, so did Eisenhower, so did others, so did Bill Clinton. They didn't seem to have a problem before or after their presidency of protecting them. And how will this impact the election? Right now, Trump has had nothing but tailwinds at his back since the New York case was pushed back until after the election. As I said, outside of some kind of October surprise or disruptive event, remember, the Democrats play to win and win at all cost, even if they have to cheat, lie, and steal or do something really evil to get their way. Yeah, I said the quiet part out loud, and I have no regrets. The next several weeks are going to be fascinating to watch. We're going to see what happens with, you know, the lawfare cases are all beginning to dissolve on their own. And even the one in New York, I really believe the reason that Mershon was told, he did not volunteer, he was told not to do anything until after the election, because that would sway the election probably in Trump's favor, because too many people are beginning to recognize this case is rather stupid. Ask your typical lunatic on the left, what was Trump charged with? What were the 34, however indictments, whatever it is? What is the felony? The hush money. Really? Hush money? So he 34 counts of hush money? Uh-huh. Yeah, hush money. They don't know. I don't think Judge Mershon knows. The jury just knew that they had to find him guilty because we're in Manhattan. We were told to. Let me tell you something. Hush money is not illegal in New York or any other state. It's called a non-disclosure agreement. You sign them with private companies and people, movie stars, and even governments all the time. I've had to sign them myself working for a government at one time. And they're binding. And here's the funny part. If hush money was illegal, then why did Stormy Daniels, that's her stage name, of course, Clifford's, whatever, you know, she lost her case against Trump. She owes him a ton of money because she violated her non-disclosure agreement. So apparently the agreement in and of itself, these leftist lunatics that think that was the case, is wrong. She owes what, $500,000 to Trump or more? Legal fees and the money back that she got? Apparently it wasn't illegal after all. Trump is charged because somebody in his office, after Trump had become president, after, when Trump is not doing anything day-to-day with his own company, on a bill from Michael Cohen, a lawyer, on lawyer stationery, wanting all this money put on the check stub, legal fees, because it came from a lawyer. And all the bills from Cohen became individual indictments because somebody put on them legal fees to pay a lawyer because some other kind of crime was committed, and Mershon allowed something that is unconstitutional in New York. This is why the thing will get overturned. You don't even have to know what the crime was. Just imagine that there was a crime done and that's all you need to know. That is never going to survive an appeals court. It's all about holding the moniker over his head, convicted felon. And if Mershon had sentenced him in September, there would have been an instant appeal because he had to wait till after sentencing to appeal. This could have been overturned before the election, being even more disastrous. And now they get to use this to kind of keep him, you know, at bay until the Congress under Jeffrey Hawkins, if things don't work out, and if people don't get out there and worry about who their congressman and senator is, both at the national and state level, you get what you vote for. If all you vote for is the president and forget the others, don't complain about what happens in the Congress. You made it happen. Are you beginning to see the nightmare scenarios that can play out? I'll share more tomorrow on the long-term plan of the globalists. You need to hear it. You need to understand it. It's not pretty. And I'll share more about my thoughts about how all this is going to play out in the early part of January of 2025. It's not going to be pretty. Now, we need your help more now than ever before. If you believe in our mission and ministry, would you consider supporting us? Visit our website, truth2ponder.com, truth, the numeral or number2ponder.com. We use GiveSendGo, by the way, a very wonderful organization for online giving. And if you could use that today. Or you can make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Chilhowie. Chilhowie, Virginia, and the zip code 24319. Once again, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Virginia, zip code 24319. That's 24319. Till tomorrow, may God bless you.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth, the number two, and the word ponder.com. That's truth, the number two, ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.
This is Ancient Word Radio.